Well, good morning again. Last week we spoke about the fruit of joy, and I mentioned that Jesus shared a couple of parables about people who had lost something and then gone looking for it, and once they'd found it, the joy that they experienced because they'd finally found what they were looking for. Last Sunday afternoon, a lady rang me to let me know that she had lost her combination engagement and wedding rings, and she asked me to keep an eye out for them. Well, like Jesus' parable, my spirits were lifted when I found these rings out in the car park the following day, and they were unharmed. It was joyful to find these lost items. But after each parable, Jesus said, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need for repentance." The angels celebrate when a lost soul is saved. And we've come today to celebrate the love, the joy, the peace that we experience because of Jesus. And so I'm glad that you're here today to celebrate with us. But then on Monday, first thing Monday morning, I had a call from one of you who shared with me how your niece had just lost her husband to suicide and left two small children for your niece to bring up on her own. And obviously life had become too difficult, had become too much for him, and the only answer in his mind was to end it all. The family are not Christians. They have no hope. They have no peace. And our world is a troubled world, and today it's no less troublesome than any other time in the world, in history. Back in the 60s and 70s, the Western world went through some radical changes. The Vietnam War, the challenged people and their position in terms of war and peace, the civil rights movement, the space race, the countercultural movement that used the sexual revolution, drugs and rock and roll as avenues to escape and demand for something that was different and something that was better than what they were experiencing. Kylie and I watched a movie a week ago called Jesus Revolution. It's the story of one young hippie's quest in the 1970s for belonging and liberation that leads not only to peace and love and rock and roll, but that sets into motion a new countercultural crusade. It was a Jesus movement that changed Christianity in many parts of the world. And Cornerstone was born out of the Jesus revolution or the Jesus movement. Mentioned Larry Norman earlier in the service. And Larry Norman came out of the Jesus movement. In another of his songs, he said, "I've searched all around the world to find a grain of truth and opened the mouth of love and found a wisdom tooth." A bit corny, but then he said, "I've searched all around the world to find a place of peace and I've sat in the shade of God and watched my joy increase." Many young hippies found Christ and found peace. And this movie is the story of a young Greg Laurie searching and finding God, finding peace. And if you know the story of Greg Laurie, he is now the senior pastor. I think he's 72, of one of the largest churches in America. A hippie who was struggling to find peace. And peace in the Bible is an all-inclusive, all-encompassing word. In the Old Testament, the word was shalom. And it means wholeness. Wholeness in every aspect of life. Wholeness for the person, wholeness in the human race, the wholeness for the whole of creation. It means well-being, good health, material prosperity, social and political justice, right relationships with God and with other human beings. It's a peace that encompasses all of life. And we pray for the shalom of Israel, as we also pray for the peace, the shalom of all people groups around the decaying world. Let us pray shalom for all people. Now, peace was important to Jesus, and often after he had healed the sick, he sent them away with these words, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Go in peace." Jesus also understood that faith in him would be something that brings division within families rather than peace. However, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And he asked us to be at peace with one another. He was peacefully asleep in the boat whilst the disciples were terrified. And Jesus sought to extend peace, to be the bearer of peace. Three times after his resurrection, he met with his disciples. And each time he said, first up, he said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Now, there are only two places in the Gospels where Jesus speaks or teaches on peace: John 14 and John 16. Whilst the disciples were still in the upper room enjoying the Passover meal together and Judas has left the room, Jesus promises the disciples that he would send them the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said from verse 25 in John 14, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." Jesus had already told the disciples that he was returning to his Father to prepare a place for them, but that he would not leave them as orphans, but rather give them the Holy Spirit. And he's also saying that he will give them peace. And in the New Testament, shalom has additional depth, for the word peace comes to mean the unconditional eternal gift of Christ to his followers in every time and place. That's why he doesn't give the peace that the world gives. For the world, peace is often very conditional, fragile, temporary, and frequently it is reduced to simply mean the absence of war. If a country is not at war, then it's at peace. Worldly peace is never a gift. There are always some strings attached. And there are no promises that worldly peace will last forever. It's so elusive. People think that they have it, and then it's gone. They think they're peaceful and then they're not. Non-believers may enjoy a comfortable life, but the most that they can attain is a false sense of security. People may try to anesthetize their pain with drugs, alcohol, self-indulgence or pleasure, but these things are just so temporary. And they have to eventually face life and eternity. Peace is not merely the absence of war or struggle or worry, but the abiding presence of confidence and calm bathed in hope and joy. It's a confidence and a calm with hope and joy. So where does true inner lasting peace come from? Well, because it is a fruit of the Spirit, it is a gift of God to the branches who are connected to the vine. It comes from the Prince of Peace, who said in John 16, "In me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world." And I hope you notice that before Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble," because we often quote that verse, "In this world you will have trouble," before he says that, in this very same verse, "In me you will have peace." In me you will have peace. Yes, it is a world full of trouble, but in me you can walk in peace. Don't expect not to have times of trouble, but walk through that trouble in peace. So what's going on here when Jesus says these words? Well, again, this is the night of his betrayal. He's shared a meal and he's sought to comfort the disciples with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And they have walked and they have talked on their way to the Mount of Olives, and he has encouraged them to remain in him, to trust the work of the Holy Spirit, and that although they will grieve his loss, their sorrow will turn to joy. And there are some beautiful words at the close of chapter 16 from verse 27. Jesus says, "The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I have come from God. I came from the Father and entered the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "You believe at last," Jesus replied. You can almost see a smile on his face. "You believe at last. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each of you, to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I'm not alone. My Father is with me, and I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." The very next day, the disciples would scatter and desert Jesus. They would face great troubles. But he reminds them here of their love for him and their love for God and their belief in him. And he also reminds them that although they might scatter, he won't be alone, for the Father will be with him. He's trying to allay any sense of guilt that they might have because they desert him, but rather have peace. And that they will come to know an inner peace in spite of their troubling times and their persecution. "In this world you will have trouble, but in me you may have peace. So take heart, be of good courage." Although Jesus knew what was about to happen in these next few hours, he was at peace with God and he was at peace with his friends. He spent time with his Father in prayer, and he knew that his Father would be with him and strengthen him as he faced imminent death. And God did not leave him in the garden, but strengthened him. Strengthened him. And Jesus still says to us, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So whatever trouble you might be facing, whatever fears you may have, the truth remains that if you know Jesus, then you will know his peace. For Jesus is the Prince of Peace and has promised to give us peace, his peace. God says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know God. Like me, many of you have faced troubling times with health concerns for yourself or for your loved ones, troubling times with a wayward child, financial difficulty. Many of you have suffered through depression and anxiety and loneliness, spiritual battles of persecution, lies and false accusations. All the while, there's been an underlying peace that you've walked with the integrity before the Lord. You have known his comfort and encouragement and peace. So as you experience true peace, firstly, do you know peace with God? To experience peace, do you know peace with God? Have you accepted the fact that in Jesus' death, he paid the price for your sin? Have you accepted that? Do you know God as your Father, as your friend, as your good shepherd? Do you no longer fear God and his punishment? Are you sure that you'll spend eternity in glory with him, the glory of heaven? Paul wrote, "Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Through faith in Jesus, we are at peace with God. He no longer counts our sin against us. If you don't know God's forgiveness for your sin and aren't assured of where you will spend eternity, then please chat with another Christian or with one of us after. Secondly, do you know peace with one another? Most of you have been around long enough to know that although we might long for peace with others, that's often out of our control. And as Paul said, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And for your own peace and well-being, forgive. Most times when we're troubled in this life, we're limited in our understanding of the much bigger picture. When we're troubled, we don't tend to see or know the whole picture of what's going on. In order for God's peace to transcend our own understanding, whatever we might be going through, pray. Pray with thanksgiving and rejoice in who the Lord is, as Paul advises us to do in Philippians. We will then be at peace within ourselves. Although it's the work of the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of peace within us, I think that prayer is like applying the fertilizer. Prayer gives us perspective. Prayer reminds us that God knows what he's doing and he's in control. And prayer, combined with thanksgiving, is one of the ways that he cultivates peace in our lives. We can apply the fertilizer and he cultivates peace. Saying thank you to God creates an attitude of gratitude. And peace thrives in an environment like this. So let us close with the words from Paul from Philippians, where he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Rejoice in the Lord, what he's done for you, what he continues to do for you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice. Now let your gentleness, the Greek word gentleness means your power is under control. Yet let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace that transcends all understanding. Your understanding of what might be going on is limited. But the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus as you pray. May you truly experience God's peace. Amen.